The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a done deal. Darnold dealt. We'll tell you what it means for both teams and the top of the NFL draft. Plus, Mike's mock, Tannenbaum, makes the picks for every team in round one. You won't believe where he has one quarterback going. And on the day of his TV debut, Aaron Rodgers gives us more reason to believe his future is in jeopardy. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now on a Tuesday from the Seaport. Greeny here, delighted you've chosen to get up with us and be there. The trade yesterday will take up a lot of our time today, and we have exactly the right people to talk about it with us this morning. Shefty, as usual, breaking all the stories. Tannenbaum and Booger are going to break it down. Mel will be with us in a moment as well, and we will bring them all in right after we show you the highlights of the game of the night. National championship, all the marbles on the line. Gonzaga, Baylor. Gonzaga looking to finish the perfect season, but right from the start, their hero from Saturday night, Jalen Suggs, on the bench. Two quick fouls, and it would be all Baylor early. From the outside, Jared Butler for three. They're doing it from the inside as well. Baylor a 16-point lead in the early going. Midway through the half, Macy O.T. Yes, it's 19 points. That's Gonzaga's biggest deficit all year long. Suggs would come back, trying to bring his team back. Under a minute and a half, down 15. Suggs in the paint. Yes, plus the foul. It's a 10-point game at the half. But they would really never get closer. Early second, Baylor up by 11. It's Jared Butler with a long three. He would score 22. The lead is 14, just over 4 minutes to go. 17 points. Mitchell, yes, Baylor running away and hiding. Suggs and Gonzaga, really never a threat. Scott Drew, the celebration is on. Butler named the most outstanding player. Drew celebrating with his legendary dad, Homer. His brother, Bryce, is there. All the celebration back on campus. Baylor, champions of the world.
We want to be the best guards in the nation, and I think we proved that tonight. We made a statement, and you know, it's just the best way to do it on, you know, national TV, you know, NCAA tournament championship game. Like, it's amazing to do it.
You know, they punched us in the mouth right at the get-go, and took a long time for us to kind of recover and start playing them even again, and by then it was too late.
I mean, it's obviously a feeling these guys had never had to address and deal with, but hey, they've just been an amazing, unbelievable group.
Well, and that group got them within one win of the perfect season, but after that loss, once again, it is still Indiana in 1976, the last national champion to go wire to wire. Over the last 45 years, four teams have entered the Final Four unbeaten. And as you see, none of them got there. And so here he is, my Uncle Seth, no relation, to break it all down, Seth Greenberg. And listen, you were telling me before we came on the air, Baylor, that is one unbelievably tough bunch of dudes. What's your number one takeaway from their win last night?
They were bigger, stronger, quicker, more athletic, longer, and they dominated the game. They dominated on the glass. They were plus 10 on the glass. I mean, think about this. They had 18 more shots than Gonzaga. They dominated it defensively, getting up and underneath Gonzaga, pushing them out, getting deflection. And then they dominated from the three-point line. I mean, they made five more threes than Gonzaga. This was a dominant performance by this Baylor team. They were just tougher. I mean, think about this, Greeny. Mark Vidal had eight offensive rebounds. That's three more than the whole Gonzaga team. And the first play of the game told the whole story. Baylor gets the ball, shot goes up, they rebound and miss. Shot goes up, they rebound and miss. Shot goes up, they rebound and miss. Message sent, message received. They were just bigger, stronger, and tougher.
Yeah, bigger, stronger, tougher, and just flat better, which, you know, will make people out there say Gonzaga, with that gaudy record, came from a lesser conference and they looked like they were outplayed last night. What is the right way to remember this Gonzaga team from this season?
They're a historic offensive team. It is hard to win a national championship. It's hard to go undefeated. Baylor is a very good basketball team. The other guys trying to win as well. They had an incredible season. I always say life is a journey, not a destination. There are roadblocks and detours. They finally faced a detour. That detour was called Baylor. Baylor was just better. And I think if they played 10 times, I think Baylor would win 8 of them. They were just better. They were better in the backcourt. They were a better rebounding team. They were a better defensive team. They dominated the game. But it shouldn't take away from the journey. It shouldn't take away from a historic season, especially this year in a COVID situation. But they're not the national champions. That's Baylor. They were good, but not good enough.
Yeah, Baylor might very well have won it last year had we had a tournament. Yeah. They looked like the best team in the country, and they come back and they do it here. Seth, what a season it's been. What a night it was. Thank you so much for getting up early after a very late night. Seth Greenberg with us breaking down the brackets. We'll have more on that as we go. But now to the big trade yesterday. Darnold dealt. The deal is done. Sam Darnold from the Jets to the Carolina Panthers. Darnold, who was the number 3 overall pick in 2018. On the way back, it's a 6th rounder from Carolina to the Jets this year, along with a 2 and a 4 next year. So that's what the Jets get in return. And here is the man who always breaks all the stories for us, and that is Adam Schefter. Schefter, we've been waiting to see how this would play out. How did it get where it got yesterday?
Essentially, Greeny, I think that the Jets all along were enamored with Zach Wilson. And I think that they were talking to teams and had conversations with about a half dozen teams over the last couple of months regarding a potential Sam Darnold trade. But the team in the end that seemed the most interested was the Carolina Panthers. And in the end, when the Panthers offered 3 picks, I think that made the Jets' decision rather simple. The Jets could have held on to Sam. But what if Carolina went a different direction? What if the Panthers decided we're going to draft one of these quarterbacks? What if they decided they were going to trade for Deshaun Watson? What if they went in a different direction? Then the Jets wouldn't have the team that was most aggressive on Sam Darnold. We talked yesterday about all the teams that had dried up in terms of having a glaring quarterback need. We were down to basically Carolina, Denver. Yes, there are other teams with significant quarterback questions, but how many of them were going to make a significant play for Sam Darnold? And we talked on this show yesterday extensively about the idea of keeping 2 quarterbacks. And yes, the Jets could have done that. Quarterbacks are assets. You want as many assets as you can have. But the fact of the matter is they also were going to have to make a decision on Sam Darnold's 5th-year option. And I think that would have tied them financially. It made them a little bit uncomfortable having to pick that up. If they pick it up, they're on the hook for the money. If they don't pick it up, everybody knows they got to move on from him. And it just creates one more issue in a situation that they felt they were better off not having. And so when they get the 3 picks back from Carolina, they make the deal. The Jets get back the 3 picks and now lock in to a quarterback at 2. And the Carolina Panthers lock into their quarterback, at least gives them some flexibility now going forward.
Yeah, they still have Teddy Bridgewater on their roster for the moment as I bring the rest of the crew in here. But Schefter, you sort of addressed my other question there briefly. But they lock in on a quarterback. Have they locked in on the quarterback? Is there any question but that Zach Wilson will be that pick at 2, Schefter?
Greeny, I sent him a text yesterday. I said, welcome to New York, Zach, officially, okay? So that's about as far as I can go right now. I mean, Zach Wilson would seem to be the obvious choice at number 2. It looks like he is headed to the Jets. You don't trade Sam Darnold and make that move without knowing that you're going to pick a quarterback at 2. So let's play it out. Trevor Lawrence is going 1 to Jacksonville. The Jets are on the clock, and they're going to take Zach Wilson from Brigham Young.
All right, send me his contact. I want to talk to him later. But in the meantime, let me read the rest of the crew in here to the conversation. The man who is synonymous with the draft itself, Mel Kiper Jr. in the lower right of your screen. Mel, did they do the right thing yesterday? Did the New York Jets do the right thing?
I would not have traded Sam Darnold. That's my decision. That would have been my call all along. I would have gone with Darnold and then been able to move down and get a Kyle Pitts, a Devontae Smith, a Jamar Chase, or a Jalen Waddle. But, Greeny, they didn't just get the 3rd-round pick that was reported. I said, hey, that's giving Sam Darnold away. You cannot do that. If you're only going to get a 3rd-round pick in return, you keep him, let him battle it out with Zach Wilson. He'll probably have been the starter. See if Sam develops into a great quarterback. If he does, then you can trade Zach Wilson for a haul. But they got the 2, the 4, and the 6. So I think those 3 picks instead of just a 3rd-round pick is the reason why Joe Douglas felt, hey, you got to make this move. And for that, I think it's a good deal for both parties. They got more than was advertised. And for Carolina, I think it's an A+. I would give Carolina the best in this deal because they got the young 23-year-old quarterback, former third pick overall, in a division now with Matt Ryan, 36. Tom Brady can't play forever, and New Orleans is now figuring it out at quarterback. So this gives the Panthers a leg up in terms of getting their young quarterback in Sam Darnold.
Not only that, but Mel, very quickly, to repeat for those who haven't seen you say it, if Sam Darnold was in this draft class, where would he go?
At worst, the third pick overall.
There you have it. And maybe even the second, ironically.
Let me just say this.
Yeah, Shefty.
Let me just say this. If the Jets didn't have the second overall pick, they would not have traded Sam Darnold. If the Jets would have been number 3 or 4 or 5, they would have kept Sam Darnold. But because they're at 2 and because they feel so strongly about Zach Wilson, that enabled them, right or wrong, to move on from Sam Darnold. If they were any later in the draft, they don't make this trade.
So then let me go to the general manager here, and that is Mike Tannenbaum. One way you could look at this is the New York Jets just gave up 3 first-round draft picks to draft Zach Wilson. It's almost like trading 3 first-round picks for Zach Wilson because clearly that was the compensation for the pick behind them. In your opinion, Mike, as a personnel evaluator and a put-together of teams, is that the right decision?
I think it is. And, you know, to Am's point, though, it shows you how much the Jets like Zach Wilson. There was a massive gap between Wilson and Darnold, and I agree with it. Sam Darnold's had 3 years, and look, you could talk about the lack of supporting staff, coaching changes, and everything else, but at some point, you have to show greatness. Sam Darnold never showed greatness. Zach Wilson, to me, has a really high ceiling, and if I'm the GM of the Jets today, I go to bed every night with this one fundamental question. Do I have the ability to compete against Josh Allen year in and year out? And with you do with Zach Wilson, and in my opinion, you don't with Sam Darnold.
Okay, so there's that easy. All right, Booger, I saved the best for last. The floor is yours, big fella. What do you think of the whole thing?
Well, Greeny, I think, first of all, from the Jets' perspective, you know, I'm on record saying the same thing that Mel said. I would have kept Sam Darnold and built around him. I still think he's a very good young quarterback. But the Jets decided that they didn't want to do that. And I think if you're Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh, they want to come in and get their own quarterback. They want to make sure they choose their own guy, an athletic quarterback. All signs point to it being Zach Wilson. I think Zach Wilson, if from a talent standpoint, he's no more talented than Sam Darnold. So it's going to be what you surround Zach Wilson with in New York. From Carolina's perspective, I think this is a home run. Listen, I have seen the offensive coordinator there, Joe Brady, work wonders down at LSU with Joe Burrow, how he tailors the offense to what the quarterback can do. And we saw what Joe Burrow turned into. You look at Matt Rhule, how he wants to develop a culture. You look at Tepper, the owner, how he wants to build the team. I think this is a home run. I think the future is so bright for Sam Darnold. And if you look at the situation, I can make an argument that Sam Darnold is now in a better situation, regardless of who they take at number 2, regardless of where that pick will be in New York, because of the offensive coordinator, the head coach, and the weapons that are in Carolina. Sam Darnold has to wake up like a kid in a candy store. He's got to be like me this week, and you, Greeny. It's Masters week. It's Augusta. He's got to feel like that the world is at his beckoning call. This is a great situation for Sam Darnold, and I couldn't be happier for the kid.
And he's still only 23 years old. And there was obviously an enormous amount of reaction to this on Twitter yesterday. But only one of the tweets came from someone whose college tuition I pay. And she tweeted the following. In my lifetime, my father has decided that Chad Pennington, Mark Sanchez, and Sam Darnold have been the saviors of his team. And I'm only 20. That was my daughter on Twitter yesterday. We're just getting started. Coming up, Mike Tannenbaum reveals his new mock draft with a big surprise involving Justin Fields. It's all connected to yesterday's trade. We're talking about it next. Plus, was it too soon? The Jeopardy answer last night that left Aaron Rodgers nearly speechless. Don't miss it. What a morning. It's Get Up on ESPN. I work on the weekend. Ain't got time for no leeches.
Shining like the sun, I'm talking Phoenix. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by Jim Beam. Take a timeout from beer with a Beam and Ginger highball. And we have a mock draft alert. And this is the debut of Mike Tannenbaum's mock draft. And to be clear, these are the picks he would make if he were making the decisions. He would take Trevor Lawrence number one, and he would, as they are expected to, take Zach Wilson number two overall with the Jets. He, if he were sitting where San Francisco is sitting, would take Mac Jones from Alabama at number three, the quarterback to go to the 49ers. And then at number four, again, if he were making the decision with Atlanta, he would select Trey Lance out of North Dakota State. So that would mean four consecutive quarterbacks going. Again, that's never happened before. And then the big surprise in Mike's mock is that despite the trade for Sam Darnold yesterday, Mike T, if he were Carolina, would still take Justin Fields at number eight overall. Let me give you this a little look. Once again, I repeat, these are the picks that Mike would make. He's not trying to tell you what he thinks they will do. And so you see at five, he's got Cincinnati protecting the blind side of their young quarterback and all those offensive weapons. But the really interesting piece in all of this, as I bring Mike in here, is that we gave you the option. You sent us this, and then the Darnold trade happened. And we went back to you and said, well, we assume that now you would not take Justin Fields if you were in Carolina. And you said, no, you're leaving it that way. Why?
Because you can't have enough good young quarterbacks. And I think Justin Fields has a chance to be really good. We'll get into that more in a minute here. But when you're building a team, Greeny, and you have Sam Darnold on a two-year deal at reasonable money, $23.6 million over 2 years, and you could add a great young talent like Justin Fields, you want to operate from a position of strength at the quarterback position. We don't know how Sam Darnold is going to turn out. It's been inconsistent at best so far as an NFL player. And if he plays well or Justin Fields plays well, the other one becomes expendable. And if we spin this story forward, Greeny, next year there's a lot of uncertainty about quarterbacks coming out. So if I'm Carolina, let's turn the most important position from a weakness to a strength and add to it.
It's a fascinating way of looking at it. You know, the old adage was, if you have two quarterbacks, it means you don't have one. Maybe now we live in a little different world. We can leave that there for the moment. But there's so many things in this I want to get into. The first of them, Mel Kiper, again, as one who has analyzed this as carefully as anyone, is the decision that Mike is saying he would take Mac Jones ahead of Lance or Fields at number three. That seems to be the consensus of most of the people we hear from, Mel. What do you think of that pick?
No problem with it. I think Mac Jones, the year he had with the intelligence level he has, the competitiveness, the accuracy to all levels, if they feel he's the best quarterback for their offense, I have no issue with Mac Jones going ahead of Trey Lance, who had that 1 year at the 1AA level, only 17 career starts. And, of course, Justin Fields would be my pick, but it's not about what I would do or Mike would do or anybody would do. It's about what they want. And Mac Jones is great. While it's not way up there in the stratosphere for me, it's high enough if they feel he's the right guy based on what he did this year at Alabama with all that talent around him. And I will say, as we said, once Jalen Waddle got hurt, it was Devontae Smith only, and Devontae still lit it up, and Mac Jones still lit it up. And he didn't have his center for the final two games with Landon Dickerson, and he still had a phenomenal game or two. So I think you look at Mac Jones, I think it makes sense for a lot of levels why the 49ers would make him the third pick overall.
And if that is the way that it goes, and most of the projections we've seen see it that way, Booger, then it will be very interesting at number, maybe we could say the draft kind of starts at number four with the Falcons, who still have Matt Ryan there. If they decide to go quarterback there rather than going, I'm just throwing names out there, Kyle Pitts, dynamic receiving weapon out of Florida, or Jamar Chase or something like that. What would you think of the decision for the Falcons to take the quarterback at four?
You know, I'd agree. I don't mind the Falcons taking a quarterback at four. If Justin Fields is on the board and Trey Lance also, I think they'd be a fool to take Lance over Fields. I think if you look at Lance, I think he's going to be a good quarterback. It's just going to take him longer to get to the point that where Justin Fields is right now. So you're right. The draft starts at four. If quarterbacks are going to go one, two, three. At four, what does Atlanta decide to do? Do you keep Matt Ryan and then pair him with one of these great pass catchers? Because presumably at five, Cincy's going to take the tackle. So you could have a situation where Justin Fields or Trey Lance is sitting there at eight when Carolina picks. I would put Justin Fields at number four, somebody may trade up to get him at four. I just don't think Atlanta, if you're Atlanta and you're sitting there, you don't have a guy who is 45 years old in Matt Ryan. I still think Matt Ryan has good football left in him. If I'm Atlanta at four, I would take Kyle Pitts, put it with Matt Ryan, and build my team out and see if we can win over the next 3 or 4 years. Then that leaves a situation where Fields is there, as Tannenbaum has projected in his draft at number eight. So now, if you're Carolina, what do you do at that point at number eight?
So we're playing these things out, all these scenarios, based upon how they may go. Mike Tannenbaum, I'm going to throw this back at you. I just have a feeling, and I base it on nothing more than a feeling, that San Francisco came up there to take Trey Lance, not to take Mac Jones. They have Jimmy Garoppolo. They could keep Garoppolo there for at least a year. That is literally the Kansas City model exactly. Have Garoppolo play until Lance, who everyone says needs time to develop, is ready to go. And then everyone is telling me, all of you, Mel and everyone I talk to, says Lance has the upside that no one else in this draft has. So I'm here to tell you, I think that's what San Francisco is going to do. What do you think of that, Tannenbaum?
I think there's some logic to it, and you're crazy, and here's why. As a general manager, I was criticized for taking big chances, but let me tell you something. If the San Francisco 49ers trade 3 first-round picks and a 3rd-round pick for a player that played in one game this year, we are talking about historic risk-taking by John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. That would be unbelievable, Greeny. I love Trey Lance. I am going 4. But you're going to give up 3 ones and a 3rd for a guy that played one game this year, and it wasn't even at the highest level of football? I think that would be unbelievable.
Mel, you will be sitting next to me when this happens, whatever it is San Francisco does. If they take Trey Lance instead of Mac Jones, and I turn to you and say, Mel, what will you say?
I would disagree with the move. I have Mac Jones ahead of Trey Lance, Greeny. Trey Lance is the most fascinating player I've evaluated in 43 years. Why? Because, as Mike Tannenbaum said, the body of work at the 1AA level, I talk about only 23 pass attempts in 14 of the 17 starts, below 57% in 5 games against 1AA competition. I would take Mac Jones over Trey Lance. Trey Lance is my 5th highest rated quarterback in this draft.
Well, once again, as I've said it before, I'll say it again. Mine is that rare genius that will not be fully appreciated until long after my time. Much more football as we go. Meanwhile, I want to make sure everyone is aware that our program, Get Up, is brought to you by Wendy's, a proud sponsor of the 2021 John R. Wooden Men's and Women's Player of the Year. And this year's Women's Player of the Year is UConn's Paige Beckers. What a spectacular freshman season. She's the first ever freshman to win the award. She's 5'11", had one of the great rookie seasons in UConn history, averaging 20 points, nearly 6 assists, and 5 rebounds per game. All right, coming up here, Aaron Rodgers adding more fuel to the speculation about his future in Green Bay. Wait till you hear what he said now and the answer on Jeopardy that left him nearly speechless. Plus, how can we make Mel mad this morning? That was basically our goal. Let's see if we can't do it next. It's Mad Mel Kiper next. Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back on Get Up and recapping the big news from yesterday, the big trade, the New York Jets trading quarterback Sam Darnold to the Carolina Panthers. Darnold was the 3rd pick overall in 2018. In return, the Jets get a 6 this year, a 2 and a 4 next year. And that brings us to the debut of a new segment that we like to call What's Making Mel Mad? The staff of Get Up has decided that the best Mel Kiper is a mad Mel Kiper. We like to make Mel mad. And so the question that we have for you today, Mel, is what's making you mad today?
The Jets. I don't know how anybody can't love a win-win, Greeny. Obviously, the Jets don't, because you had Sam Darnold. You bring in Zach Wilson. If you want to go that route, it's a win-win. If Darnold's great, you move Zach Wilson. If Darnold's not, you move away from Darnold. You go with Wilson. If you're 0-2, you're fired. You should be fired if you're 0-2 on two decisions at quarterback. Mike Tannenbaum, I'm going to drag you into this argument because you made me mad today as well. You're talking about Sam Darnold and Josh Allen. Josh Allen, when he came out, was hated on. Josh Allen was hated on back in August before he became great because they gave him some help. Brandon Bean did, who, by the way, drafted Josh Allen. When Josh Allen came out and was getting hated on, Sam Darnold, his good friend, defended him, said, "You can't, he's never going to be a bust. He's going to prove all you guys wrong." Now Josh Allen has to defend Sam Darnold was being hated on. And then the two quarterback thing in Carolina. Why not two quarterbacks with the Jets? You want Fields, you want Darnold, but you don't want Darnold and Wilson. If you had Darnold and Wilson, okay, then you have the win-win. If you go with Darnold only, you get Kyle Pitts or one of those three receivers. Now Carolina has Darnold, and they can get Penei Sewell the tackle or maybe one of those receivers that drop. So for me, look past the numbers. Look at Sam Darnold in the end of the 2018, end of 2019, end of 2020. He showed he'd be good with very little around him. So maybe he didn't show greatness, Mike, but he showed he'd be good at various stages of the last 3 years. He's only 23. Great move for Carolina. Applaud it. And I would not take a quarterback there. I would get Penei Sewell, the tackle, to be his left tackle. Or I would get one of those receivers to go along with Moore and Anderson. You bring Darnold in. Bring Arnold in to go with Darnold. Now you got weapons around the quarterback, or you get the left tackle, the bookend. I think Sam Darnold is vastly, vastly underrated, and I don't get the criticism because people just haven't seen it yet. They're going to see it like they saw it with Ryan Tannehill once he escaped and got to Tennessee for a fourth-round pick, and Jim Plunkett left New England to escape out of there. So this has happened before. It's going to happen again with Sam Darnold.
Absolutely outstanding. To be very clear, the Arnold he's talking about is Dan Arnold, the tight end. So they could have a touchdown pass this year from Darnold to Arnold, which would, if nothing else, be fun to call in the highlights. Mel, that is outstanding. Booger, let me come to you on the basic point of it, because there was a, you know, I see both sides of it as far as if you're the Jets and you're going to take Zach Wilson at number two, I see keeping Darnold there and letting that situation play out. I also see the potential downfalls of something like that. I see it both ways. Booger, how do you see it?
Well, Greeny, I'm from the old school. Listen, this is called pro football. This is not high school, college. This is big boy. We get checks. We have tax returns, et cetera, et cetera. So I have no problem with having two quarterbacks and letting them compete and battle it out. I think the best man is going to win. You're going to create a competitive environment. That's what we're always taught as football players. So this whole notion of where if you have two quarterbacks in the room, the mentality of the quarterback, you're going to damage it. Come on, man, that's BS. Listen, be an adult, be a grown man, compete, and the best man is going to play for the job. If I were Joe Douglas and I were the Jets, again, I am on record, I would have kept Sam Darnold. Mel and I are sharing a brain. I still think Sam Darnold, from a talent standpoint, gives you everything that Zach Wilson does, plus he gives you the experience, and he's only 23 years old, Greeny. Understand that he is a guy you can build around, and I think Carolina is going to get the best out of him. And you, Greeny, are you going to sit back and one day, you're going to name your kid again Sam Darnold, but he's going to be playing in Carolina and winning Super Bowls down in Charlotte.
Yeah, I have to go to the DMV and take care of that a little later today. Shefty, I'll give you the final word on this. any part of it you want to take, go.
Well, what I would say is, look, the Jets have racked up a lot of draft picks, Greeny. At some point, they're going to have to make these picks count, and there's no more important pick that this franchise has made than the one it's about to make with Zach Wilson. And the home run potential on Zach Wilson is vast. And I think they're going to pick him, and they better use those other picks to start building up that offensive line, which is something I know is near and dear to Joe Douglas's heart. And so if they can turn Zach Wilson into the quarterback that they think, you could finally, after years, be happy, Greeny.
We will see. I will tell you this. Well, the one thing, going from 2011 through 2018, the one thing every New York Jets first-round pick has in common is that none of them are currently on their roster. So the picks is another conversation we can have. Meanwhile, let's get to an outstanding quarterback, and that's Aaron Rodgers. Did you see him last night? Green Bay star Aaron Rodgers made his debut as the host of Jeopardy last night. There's no question the best moment came during Final Jeopardy when one of the contestants used the opportunity to have a little fun. Watch this.
Over to our two-day champion on the end. Scott, did you come up with the correct response? Who wanted to kick that field goal? That That is a great question. Should be correct, but unfortunately for this this game today, that's incorrect, and you're going to lose 0. Thank you for that.
Now that was a delightful moment. For the record, the correct answer was Mr. Rogers. Not the Mr. Rogers who was hosting the show, but the legendary Fred Rogers was the answer to the question. Shefty, let's just get a quick laugh on that because I want to play the McAfee stuff first. What everybody take from that? Shefty, what'd you think of his debut on Jeopardy?
Well, I think he's natural. And if he wanted to do that full time, I think he'd be a great selection. And if he wanted to do it full time, I think he'd be very happy doing that if we're playing quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. But that's another story.
That's another story for another day. Okay, let me set up the other piece of this, because really the interesting stuff that he said yesterday was when he made his regular appearance on Pat McAfee's radio show, and this is what he said there.
You know, I think that we're exactly where we were last year when I made comments after the draft and throughout the season. You know, I don't feel like any of that's changed. All I can do is play my best, and I feel like last year I did do that and may have thrown a wrench into some timelines that may have been thought about or desired. But ultimately, you know, things haven't really changed on that front. My future is really, a lot of it's out of my control. You know, that's why I mentioned, you know, using words like, a phrase like beautiful mystery, like, because it is quite uncertain which directions that things are going to go.
Holy smoke, he gets unbelievable stuff out of Rogers every week on that show. He said this might have thrown a monkey wrench into other people's timelines. He said the future is out of my control. Shefty, that's Aaron Rodgers saying those things. What do you take away from it?
Well, again, as he said, it's exactly what he said last year and at the end of the season. And you remember there was a big conversation about his future. And clearly he does not seem committed to that place. And he has questions about their commitment to him even more important. So the question is, what happens here, right? And again, he says it's not up to him. But I actually believe it is up to him. Because if he was uncomfortable enough, he could just go there and say, look, I'm going to force your hand. I'm not coming back there. I want to move on. You guys not only drafted a quarterback, but you traded up to draft a quarterback. And because you did that, I want to go somewhere else. And we've seen it play out in other places at other times for different reasons. We saw Peyton Manning leave Indy, not what he wanted to do, but did leave. We saw Tom Brady did leave New England, his choice. And I think if Aaron Rodgers drank truth serum and had his choice, he would move on to another place that hadn't traded up to get a quarterback in the first round.
And that may happen as soon as a year from now. And Booger, you've been around Peyton Manning and other great quarterbacks. You know how prideful they can be. How do you see this thing playing out? Booger.
Well, Greeny, you know, to Shefty's point, you know, Aaron Rodgers, I think, is torn because the organization clearly doesn't want him. They drafted Jordan Love. They clearly want to move on. And you heard his words. Hey, his play may have thrown a monkey wrench in it because we all sat up here a year ago and talked about this was the year they could get out from under that contract. Well, guess what? There's no way possible you're moving on from the reigning MVP. And if you're Aaron Rodgers, you're committed to your teammates. So to Shefty's point, yes, he could go in and demand a trade, but that's from a business standpoint. From a locker room, from a cohesion standpoint, he wants to go out there and win with Davante Adams. He wants to win with Tonyan. He wants to win with David Bakhtiari and those guys because that's a close-knit unit. Those are his brothers. And so to his point, the business side, yes, he would clearly walk in the day and move on from Green Bay. But once you get on the field, it's clear that Aaron Rodgers is happy in Green Bay. He enjoys playing in Green Bay. He wants to go out there and play with his teammates, Greeny. And to me, there's something in the back of my head that's saying, you know what? He probably feels as if, how about I go out here and be in the MVP conversation again? And now what is Green Bay going to do? So he controls all the cards and he can dictate to them what they do. And right now, they're wasting a first-round pick sitting on the bench while Aaron Rodgers is having a continued Hall of Fame-type career.
Go ahead, Mel.
I think it was a good move drafting Jordan Love. I disagree with the guys. I think Aaron Rodgers, he did the same thing to Brett Favre. Aaron Rodgers slid. The Packers said, okay, we're not going to get a quarterback like this. We're not going to pick in the top five. This guy slid all the way into the 20s. We take Aaron Rodgers when we have Brett Favre. They drafted Brian Brohm in the second round after they already had Rodgers. They're trying to find the quarterback. It ended up being Aaron. Now you have Jordan Love. They got him at 26. He could have gone in the top 15. Nobody would have had an argument with that. So Jordan Love now is going to do to Aaron what Aaron did to Brett Favre. At some point, force him to move on. So I have no problem. The Packers at 26, Packers know they're not going to be picking in the top 5 or 10. And they got Jordan Love, just like it got Aaron, at a point in the draft where they felt like they were stealing a really bright young quarterback prospect.
After this season, Aaron Rodgers will have played more seasons in a Packers uniform than any player in history, and maybe it will be his last. We will take a short break. We have so much more still to come as we continue Get Up this morning, including Big Ben coming back. So why does Adam Schefter have big concerns about his team? We'll talk about that next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. And this feels amazing,
'cause they used to never show love. NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up with Adam Schefter, running the hurry up through some teams that have quarterback questions. Schefty, starting with New England.
Well, they did sign Cam Newton, brought him back, but brought him back on a contract that tells you that they're not done at the quarterback position yet. The question is, will the Patriots wind up drafting another quarterback? Will they go out and acquire another quarterback via trade, a la Jimmy Garoppolo or Teddy Bridgewater, or wherever it may be? They're not done at quarterback just yet. That'll be one of the storylines that we're watching as the draft unfolds. As for another team with a quarterback question, the Denver Broncos have Drew Lock. But everybody's expected them to make another move at quarterback. They made inquiries on Matthew Stafford. They made inquiries on Sam Darnold. They don't seem to be done just yet. We'll see whether they decide to draft one of the quarterbacks, if one of them happens to slide to them in the first round, or whether there's another quarterback out there that does make some sense for the Denver Broncos at this time. And then the other team with a quarterback question, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Look, Ben Roethlisberger, same draft class as Phillip Rivers and Eli Manning. What are they doing right now? They're not in football. And Ben Roethlisberger is the last man standing from that draft class, which is a message to the organization that unless it believes in Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins, that maybe it's time to start looking for another quarterback to groom to be the successor to Ben Roethlisberger. Well, who is that? Are they going to go draft one this year? What are they going to do there, Greeny? I think it's a major question in Pittsburgh for a team that's been as good as they have for as long as they have. Who is the next guy in line to take the throne from Big Ben when he's done playing?
I agree with you. It's such a good question. And let me bring the crew in here. And Mel, I'll come to you here because I think most fans watching this, they're aware of the big five quarterbacks in this draft because we talk about them every single day. But as I'm getting set to host this draft with you guys, the name at the top of that screen is extremely intriguing. Davis Mills, who coming out of high school in Georgia was the number one rated quarterback in the country in 2017. He's only started 11 games on the collegiate level, but he's 6'4", 225, has all of the measurables, has no experience. So as a guy that maybe you draft and you have him sit behind Ben for a year or two and get him ready, you could get him. Where is he going to go, Mel? Second round, third round? Is that a move you could see the Steelers making?
Wouldn't be shocked if he went in the late first, Green. Davis Mills is red hot right now. I remember seeing David Shaw after we were leaving the draft about 3 years ago, and I said, what do you think of Davis Mills? He just gave me that look like he's going to be really good. And this year, he had five starts, but in four of those games, he was impressive throwing the football. Remember, only 11 career starts overall, but you're talking about maybe second round, possibly late first. So he's a guy, and Jamie Newman, formerly of Wake Forest and Georgia, didn't play this year. You go back to 2019 tape at Wake Forest, you had a lot to like about Jamie Newman. So if you look at Davis Mills in a second, or maybe a Jamie Newman in that day three area, those would be a couple possibilities for the Steelers, who have offensive line needs, they got a running back need, they got a cornerback need in their division with Joe Burrow, Baker Mayfield, and Lamar Jackson. They better figure out the heir apparent to Ben Roethlisberger soon.
That video that we showed you also was Kellen Mond, the quarterback from Texas A&M, Kyle Trask from Florida. All these guys will be in the mix somewhere. Booger, do you think the Steelers should be thinking quarterback at some point in this draft?
Yeah, Green, I think at some point in the draft they're going to think quarterback. I don't think you bring Ben Roethlisberger back, though, and think quarterback in the first round. I think you can get a guy like a Kyle Trask, who I think fits perfectly in Pittsburgh. He would also fit perfectly in Tampa. Big, strong kid, strong arm, can throw the football all over the field, and he's a very accurate passer. He just kind of fits from a 6'5", 230-pound standpoint. He fits and looks like Big Ben. So that's a quarterback that maybe you could get in the second round. But if you're Pittsburgh, there's no way you bring Ben Roethlisberger back and say, okay, we're going to start preparing for the future. If that was the case, you would just move on and cut bait. And let's not forget, they have Dwayne Haskins on the roster, a former first-round draft pick who has a lot of talent. I think he'll flourish in Pittsburgh under Mike Tomlin. The culture there in Pittsburgh, I think they'll get the best out of Dwayne Haskins. So I think Pittsburgh is okay this year for a quarterback. But if they want to get one and kind of put him on the bench, Kyle Trask, in my mind, would be a guy for them. Also, Trask in Tampa also.
Haskins only 2 years into his contract. Shefty, final word. What are you hearing?
Well, it's interesting, again, the Dwayne Haskins point, low-risk move, high upside. If they can bring it out of Dwayne Haskins, great, then that's a big bonus for that organization. I don't know if they're counting on it, but if they can do it, maybe that is the answer. But I still think you have to be looking for another quarterback here in this draft.
All right, we'll see where that all winds up going. Much more football as we go, but I will remind everyone that for Booger and myself and millions of others, this is the best week of the year. It's the Masters. And actually, it was just 5 months ago that Dustin Johnson set a tournament record, finishing 20 under par to win the event that was uniquely played in November because of the pandemic. The previous mark had been 18 under, shared by Tiger Woods and Jordan Spieth. It was Johnson's first Masters win. And according to our friends at Caesars Sportsbook, Dustin Johnson is the favorite to repeat. He would become just the fourth player to win consecutive Masters. Tiger was the last to do it in 2001 and 2002. And live we go to Augusta, and here he is, two-time U.S. Open champ. Our buddy Curtis Strange is live with us. Good morning, Curtis. Thanks for getting up with us. And so what do you make of Dustin's chances of becoming the first in 20 years to go back-to-back?
Very good. I wouldn't bet against it, Greeny, at all. What does he have to do? Just be Dustin Johnson. He's long, he's relatively straight for his length, just gifted ability to hit the golf ball, great short game. He has everything, and more than anything else, he has confidence here after winning in November.
But let's teach the fans a little something about the sport. So Bryson DeChambeau is probably the most talked about player after he bulked up and hits the ball so long. He struggled when they played there in the fall. He says he's in a much better place to do it now. When you look at his extraordinary length, how much of an advantage is that on this particular golf course, and what chance do you give him?
Greeny, length has always been so important here at Augusta National. It's a tighter golf course than it used to be, with a few bunkers and some trees planted over the years. He has to hit a few more fairways. He's so long, it enables him to be able to hit it, you know, sideways a little bit and still play, as you see him here in the rough. But, you know, he just has to hit more greens. Historically, the winner here at Augusta has always been a top three, four, or five in greens of regulation, and he hasn't been doing that. But let's not forget, what won the U.S. Open last year for DeChambeau was not his length, was not his strength, it was his ability around the greens. He was number one in scrambling that week. So that'll be very important as well for everyone here this week.
And then quickly, another former Masters champion who finally got back in the win column this past weekend is Jordan Spieth. What do you see from him this weekend? Mm-hmm.
I think the sky is the limit for him. He's, you know, he had 3.5 years of winless drought, but he didn't play that poorly. I think expectations were very high after winning four majors. I think his comeback has been very organized, and winning last week was spectacular. It does the world of good for his confidence this week, for all of us. He always plays well here. I expect him to be somewhere on the leaderboard Sunday afternoon. He loves this place.
15 years ago, Phil Mickelson won the week before the Masters and then won the Masters. We'll see if Spieth can do that. Thank you, Curtis. We'll see you in your coverage as we get going through this week. I wish I was down there with you guys. And Thursday and Friday at 3 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. Don't miss our exclusive first and second round coverage of the Masters, the year's first major. And once again, ESPN Plus will have featured hole and featured group coverage all four rounds. To get ESPN Plus, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. And Booger, you and I will both remember it was 3 years ago this week that you and I were standing on the roof of this building in which I currently sit as we were getting ready for Masters Week. This was the first ever day that we launched Get Up. And what could possibly say the Masters more than the two of us standing on the roof in a blizzard? Booger, your recollections of that day.
Well, first of all, Greeny, what in the hell were you and I thinking? Seriously, there's snow on the ground and we're standing out there. And listen, hey, to me, that's still one of the coldest moments ever in my life. And I'll never forget the words you're saying. You're like, come on, big fella, this is going to be fun. There ain't nothing fun about that. All the fake smiling we're doing for TV. Look at that. There's nothing fun about that. I mean, my teeth are chattering, Greeny. And your words were, big fella, this is going to be fun. Are you kidding me?
I mean, as I sit here and look at it now, I remember the day. I can't believe how hard it was snowing. And the two of us are standing out there talking about the golf. A lot has changed in 3 years. All right, we got much more coming up. Oh, this has changed. 3 years ago, the Jets drafted Sam Darnold. Yesterday, they traded him. What does it mean for them and everybody else? The answers are next. Get up on ESPN. Show you all the big things. Been balling this year. I got six rings.